All right, let's open our Bibles tonight. We're going back into 2 Timothy. And God willing, we are going to conclude this study this evening in the study of Paul's letters to Timothy. And I trust by the grace of God that we truly take this and have been taking this full overcomer encouragement. So many of the things to think about as this wraps up, but you know, Paul didn't leave the thought to Timothy and all these different ones. Now, let's make sure we build a big church. Let's make sure the organization keeps on going. Let's make sure that we have all of the facilities running right and making sure that every place and this and that and man is taken care of. There was one thing on his heart. There was one thing on his mind because it was the mind of Christ. And that was the message of the gospel of the glory. Timothy, you have it all, honey. God has graced us with this dispensation that was given to me. The message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're bringing forth the message, son, to the ones that will be the winners. The one that will be the bride, the Lamb's wife. Think about this message. Think about what this precious truth, this word of His grace, is able to do. And only the word of His grace can do. And only the word of His grace by God's grace that was given to Paul in his gospel, which is the word of His grace, that brings that glorious one to the hand of Jesus. And someday, by God's grace, they will wed. Hallelujah. And I think about what a departing letter this is. Paul ready to be, his head being ready to be taken off. You know, he's going to be killed. He knows it. He knows that his departure is soon, very soon. And yet, he's not sad at all. He's so thankful and so grateful to God of what the Lord has placed in his life and this power of the Holy Ghost, and that God preserved him. And as he testified to Timothy here, now Timothy, they couldn't touch me. God allowed me to be in these chains because this was the only way that my gospel was going to be preached to all the Gentiles. There was no other way it was going to happen. All of these evil ones, all of these wicked ones, we're prepared for that day of evil. Every single thing is so ordered. It's just amazing how God does it. You know, the devil's so stupid, and those that want to follow him, they'll line up to be used of the Lord over and over and over. Thanks be to God. And this is exactly how this was. But see, this departing letter of love that he gives to Timothy, I pray you know he's given this to us, that we hear this message, that we hear this letter as personal to Timothy as if it were personally written to us. And see, that's the very intent of God's word, brothers and sisters. You'll never really embrace it. You'll never take it in until you realize that it's mine. It's mine. It's all mine. Praise be to God. He would have done this if you were, if I were the only one. Nothing would have changed. It wasn't about numbers. It was about love. And I'm so thankful to God that we know how personal this is with our personal Savior. And it is our life, brothers and sisters. This word is our life. We know that the just shall live by faith. And as we finish this, may we remember and never forget that Timothy's name means honoring God. Honoring God. And how perfectly fitting if we receive, just as Timothy received, that mantle from Paul, we too will honor God. Isn't that wonderful? The way you honor God isn't by works of your flesh. It's not by anything to do with your alleged good deeds. Matter of fact, that's refuge to God. That's the filthy rags. The way we honor God, praise the Lord, is by taking this and following Paul as he followed Christ. How simple. How exact. No other writer of the Word of God. Now we know that it is the Holy Spirit that wrote the Word of God. But there's no other person that the Lord uses, a vessel, and that's why God calls Paul the chosen vessel, that makes the statements by the power of the Holy Ghost. You follow me as I follow Christ. You take heed and listen to what I say, and he will give you understanding in all things. You have to take note of this. And yet people will read right through it, like it didn't even matter. God is calling. And he's chosen. And he's given you an ear to hear. But by the grace of God, there's a word that says, let him hear. Pray for that. Pray for that. That's grace that takes that ear to hear. Pray for the grace of God to, Lord, give me that fervent desire to hear the word of your grace. That it doesn't settle or be satisfied to have anything else but the word of your grace satisfy my ear. Protect me from myself. Protect me from these things. Protect me from my dirty self-righteousness, me being wanting maybe to even be puffed up as I grow in this. Do you understand? It's not a fearful walk, but let me tell you something. It's a very aware walk. And the awareness is it's all by the grace of God. It's never by my might, my knowledge, my strength or power, because I don't have any. It's all by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, this message of the word of his grace, praise God, it builds us up. And it gives us an inheritance, we are assured, among all them that are sanctified. Paul's gospel is the gospel of the glory. And that's how we honor him, brothers and sisters, is in going after Christ as Paul did. He will make us his glory. The word of his grace builds up and always results in one thing, and that is glory. And praise be to God, the glory that the Lord speaks of in its ultimate presentation is the new Jerusalem glory, the bride, the Lamb's wife, that descends from heaven having the glory of God. How awesome. How wonderful. Yes, the woman, the wife, the glory of man, Jesus, praise God, the bridegroom. I wish only and desire, because it's only his grace that does it, Lord, increase this vessel to understand more of this, to see more of the perfection, divine, incredible love of you. And I mean that. It's just beyond. The layers that God allows us to see, our eyes have been enlightened. But praise be to God, they begin to see more and more and more. That's why she has eyes within and without. She's full of eyes. She sees. And thanks be to God, this is taking forth and coming forth in our lives, brothers and sisters. And what a height of honor to God to be that double portion to him. Do you see what an honor that is? Oh Lord, I took your son for everything. He's just the grandest of the grand. All I ever wanted, praise God, was for him to be seen. And again, that had to be all grace. That I only be found in your righteousness. Hallelujah. You talk about honoring the Father. Just rejoicing in that. You can't imagine, and I can't imagine, how pleased the Father is at this moment. To know that, yes, there are ones that rejoice and give glory only to his Son. Praise his name. Now, let's go ahead and read this farewell. We'll pick it up in the 19th verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and what a farewell it is. Salute Prisca, that's Priscilla, and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Aratus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum, sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. So you notice that first word, salute. And this just isn't, and it is precious to think, you know, you think of the different ones in the army, how you would salute your fellow officers, and a lot of times even when you say salute, I'll tell you what, that was someone that was even above you. And I'm thankful to God that, you know, Brother Paul, he was encouraged of himself to salute this precious couple that meant so much to him, that gave so much of the word of the grace of God to him, and they shared, and what a time that they had together. But this salute even means more than just acknowledging one another. It means to draw to oneself. Can you imagine that? This saluting is to draw to oneself. See, this is bridal. This is exactly what this is. And this is the depth of the meaning of these things, brothers and sisters. This is Christ-like. This is showing that there is no division here. Whether it was age, because there's the thought that this couple was quite a bit older than different ones, but there wasn't a division in that. This is the great love for one another. This is the true yoke fellow love in Jesus Christ. This is the cherubim brethren, hallelujah. These are the ones that love the body and the head the same. They operate fully with Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the love that was just emitting from Brother Paul, and especially as he was getting ready to go and wanted to, again, encourage these different ones that were remaining and going on and running to win God's best. Now, this was the same Priscilla and Aquila of Acts 18. And in Acts 18, Paul tarried with them, first of all, in Corinth. And I always love, and never forget this, how they came together. When Paul came into town, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, the special guys come into town. We have to put them in with the special house. And we, you know, we're going to figure out, well, the pastor came to town. We'll put him with the pastor. No, it was so funny. Paul was the tent maker that came to town, and they're going to put him with the tent makers. I just love that. See, it wasn't about a title. It wasn't about a position. It was about the very heart of God. And it always is. And that's what I pray that we understand these things. I'm so thankful where God has placed each and every one of us in the body. And God help us to salute each other accordingly. My body ain't pushing each joint away from it. Praise God, I believe it draws itself to it. Especially as we get a little bit older. I'm starting to understand this. It's starting to draw itself to it. Trying not to get things to get away from it. You know what I mean? So, those are just the things that go on here. But take this, because God's ministering to us, even in our own natural bodies, as to what we are in Christ. But Paul, when he departs from Corinth, he left, it says, the brethren, except for these two. See, they were so dear to him, they continued to go with him. And where they went with him, it's so precious, and I love this too, was to Ephesus. And if you know what the word Ephesus, if you remember what it means fully purposed. He took those two with himself to the place of being fully purposed. It means something. It means everything. Everything of the word of God, how he lays it out. It's just so beyond. See, you know that man could not have written this. It couldn't happen. There is no way. And here God is in his faithfulness, just showing us how beautiful the word of the Lord is, how alive it is, how it just continues to be unfolded to us, the manifold, incredible magnificence of our Lord, the word of God. Now, this was quite a dynamic duo here. That were after God's very best. Now let's look at their names even as we close this out, because all of this brothers and sisters, is such a testimony to us. Because as Paul, again, is writing this, and as he is saluting them, I pray by the grace of God, you know this is to you. This is to you. This is what God has left to us, that the Lord encourage us to give to others, to be a testimony of the whole counsel of God. And the word, the name Priscilla, it means ancient or ancient one. And Aquila means three things: nourished, eagle, and immovable. And you think about those words, and you talk about the word of his grace in a dynamic duo. How wonderful. These were eagle saints. They soared. Praise be to God. They nourished others. That nourishing name, okay? They fed, praise God, different ones. And I'm thankful that they gave to ones the food and the water, praise God, where they would never thirst again. Amen. They weren't about sustaining man. They were about, praise be to God, giving the message of the new man and feeding that new man, that that new man would grow up into these ones, into all things. They were not just birthers, as we have, Brother Copley used to point that out so sweetly. Paul was not a birther. He was one that would stay and preach and give the word of God to see ones grow up into Christ in all things. And thank the Lord for that. And God help us to always have that precious heart, that this is the age of the church age, of where the bride, the one that will be fully grown and mature, will come out from. So in that, we also know that God supplied through this couple. You think about how they fed Apollos. There was a man that had much zeal, but there was a zeal that needed to be according to knowledge. They expounded unto Apollos a more perfect way. I think that's so exact on the mark. I've heard people say, brother, do you really think that you have to know Paul's gospel to win God's best? Yes, you do. Absolutely. And I believe that that is such evidence of it right there. You can have a zeal, but it needs to be according to the knowledge. And whose knowledge? The more perfect way knowledge. Well, what and who were Priscilla and Aquila giving to Apollos was they were preaching to him Paul's gospel. And I'm so thankful to God that that's what was encouraged to this man. And as he was encouraged, and as Paul said, you all are trying to say, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm a... No, we're of Christ. We're one. And we're preaching my gospel. Isn't that wonderful? It wasn't Paul said, well, it's mine and it's me. No, Paul knew what he was given, but it wasn't unto Paul only. It was unto all them also that love his appearing. And that was the gospel that was given, praise the Lord. So, we thank the Lord for these things. Now, going back to Priscilla. Well, actually, too, I wanted to mention just about that word immovable as well, too, that name Aquila means. You think about immovable. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned all the way through. They didn't move. I'm thankful to God in that. That's such a testimony. My heart sometimes thinks about different things in the Word of God. And again, I don't know for certain, but I know Barnabas isn't mentioned again. There was that dissension. There were those different things. I'm so thankful that Brother Mark, who was with Barnabas, came back and was such a salve and an encouragement to Brother Paul. But I think about Priscilla and Aquila. They didn't move. They weren't after the next new thing. I'm sure people called them, well, you're the ancient ones. Well, hallelujah. I'm giving more earnest heed to the things which I have heard, lest at any time I let them slip. I'm staying with the stuff. Yeah. Thanks be to God. You know about me flying and different things like that. One of my favorite movies, that Top Gun. I'm not leaving my wingman. See, he did it before, and what happened, huh? Praise be to God. Be immovable. Stand, withstand, having done all to stand. I love it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm a little kooky. The Lord speaks to me in a lot of different ways. So get over it, huh? But you'll have to learn to live a little. Hallelujah. But Priscilla, going back to her, her name again means ancient one. And I think about how the Word of God talks about the fathers, ones that nurture. Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God tells us not to be children, to put away the childish things, to grow up. I thank God again that there is that just that yearning for, you know, give me the old story. That's what I want. Lord, and it's new every day, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful and amazing? The old story is my salvation that's new every day. That's God. How could it be both? Well, it's God. How do you know? Well, you got to taste the peach. Well, just be quiet. Neither sit down and listen or go off with an itching ear, and I feel sorry for you. Brother Copley stated, and it was so sweet, her name meaning ancient one, he brought out the ancient days in Daniel, or the ancient of days. And we do have a little bit of time as we close this up. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 7. And this will encourage your heart. And this is some prophetic times of the coming of the Son of Man in glory. And in that seventh chapter, there's three different times that the ancient of days is spoken of here, and we see that this is the Lord. And how precious to know that this sister is so Christ-like in her being a move. You know, they don't move, they're soaring, they feed. See, we become from glory to glory transformed into his image. But in the ninth verse of the seventh chapter of Daniel, it says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. I'll tell you that, you read stuff like that, and you want to go back and study Daniel, don't you? There's a lot in there, and my goodness, there's more to see. Praise his name. And then in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then let's jump to verse 22, and this will kind of express exactly what we're talking about here. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I just love it. Here you have this precious sister, immovable, with her cherubim brother, staring upon nothing but the mercy seat, the blood on the mercy seat there in the Holy of Holies. And here the Ancient of Days with the saints of the Most High. I love it. That ruling and reigning joint heirship all the way. It's thrilling stuff. And see, names mean something, and especially names mean something when you follow Paul as he followed Christ. Now, the household of Onesiphorus. And what that means, his name means bringing profit, for he was not ashamed of Paul's chains. We read of him back in 2 Timothy 1:16, and it says of not only him, but of his household as well. And see, Paul brings this out. Again, of this precious brother, again, speaking of him twice, because there are many, unfortunately, that know of Paul's gospel, but get ashamed of it. They hide it. They don't want to bear his reproach in it. Some go the way of there's too much suffering. It's too narrow. It's not a popular enough way. That was Demas, wasn't it? And he swerved from the mark, from the truth. And so sadly, brothers and sisters, we know that when we go out on our own ways, it's just going to be a way of destruction. When we have this precious truth that's been bestowed to our lives and we choose our own path, I witness to people often that know of this gospel and try to justify to me that they're just fine, and yet they have opportunity to gather with saints of like precious faith, and they don't. and they tried to put themselves apart or things of that nature. And I said, well, brother, I do not, by God's grace, I have to witness to you that there would be a heart that wanted to gather the much, the more as you see that day approaching. I have to ask you, for the most part, don't you pant to get into church? Aren't you thankful by the grace of God? It's not a social function. It's not because it's some type of a committee of a needy crowd in a sense of, well, I've got to be with somebody. It's the Lord. It's the love of God. It's a strengthening. It's, again, it's so supernatural you can't necessarily explain it, but it's the supplying. And I'm so grateful to God that this is loving his appearing. This is evidence of it, that you want to be with saints of like precious faith. The evidence would be the same as Paul. Not that we're trying to imitate in a sense of, well, I'm trying to act like him. No, it's allowing the Spirit by God's grace to will and to do of his good pleasure in me, which will perform the same fruit that came from Paul's life. You'll have that manner of life. As Brother Hill used to say, you really start allowing the love of God to live and to work in your life, you will love everybody. You can't help it. You'll stand back and be amazed because you'll know that that's not you. That's the most beautiful testimony of the reality and how real and personal and powerful God is in your life when you step back and see the man of God performing things that you know you never would. And you know you have nothing, in a sense, there's nothing of your strength doing that. That is God. Praise the Lord. I don't need a Red Sea. That's so far beyond one, I can only testify of it. Amen? Praise God. See how simple this is, people. Oh, what a miracle, what a miracle. Go after Paul's gospel, you'll live one. You'll be a walking miracle. And you will. Glory to glory awaits you if you'll just be still and know that he's God. Let's go ahead and read verse 20 again. Back there in 2 Timothy. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, Erastus means beloved. I love that. And what another wonderful name for a cherubim fellow. And Paul, praise be to God, uses the word beloved 31 times. 31. And it just so happens that the number 31 means offspring. Isn't that something? And it just so happens that he called precious Timothy my son in the faith, my offspring. I just believe it's so beautiful. All of these ones that Paul was so privileged to be used to bring forth the whole counsel of God, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They were the offspring of that faith. Praise God. And how wonderful that is. Beloved, beloved, beloved. You think about the Shulamite. She finally refers to her bridegroom as her beloved. My beloved. Isn't that wonderful? But see how Paul is with these that know the same and that have that same like precious faith. They're beloved because there's no difference. See, the groom not only has a head, he's got a body. And you're going to marry, if you marry Jesus, you're going to marry all of him. How that works, how that happens, oh my goodness, it's so beyond. My head blew, my heart just flew, but that's what God gives us. You see what I'm saying? We know these things in spirit. But yet eye has not seen nor ear has heard what God has prepared for them that love him. Isn't that wonderful? Hadn't even entered into the hearts of men. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful to God for that. Now, Trophimus means nourishment again. See, lots of feeding here. You want to feed the hungry? I do. But I want to give them the bread of life. Amen. I'm thankful to God as he uses us for other things. But Lord, help us to go after the best part. That's why I was saying about Paul here that struck me so much. He wasn't about building an institution or leaving some great legacy of something that he did, that he accomplished, or go build this or that. Brother, it's the message. Preach the word. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. God help us to really lay hold of this. But see, Trophimus, nutritious, profitable, fruitful. But he was sick, and he was left at a place called Miletum, which means cared for. And again, how perfect God is. When you're sick, you want to be in a place where you're cared for. And isn't that wonderful? And how God does it in your life too? Divine appointments, brothers and sisters. You're not out of step. Trust him as he leads you. There's always perfect timing. There's always a season. And God has it all under control. And this was a precious brother mentioned in throughout the Word of God that traveled with Paul and Timothy. You'll read of him in the book of Acts. He was even noted one time publicly that he was seen with Paul when Paul was sought to be killed. So, you know, being seen with Paul was a very deadly thing. It wasn't good for your health. But thanks be to God that this brother was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Again, another one of those that endured, another one of those that praised God, that he loved and was trusting the Lord for his life. Verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Now, he's telling him, make haste. Endeavor, get here, winter. And really what Paul's speaking here is he's about to depart, speaking of that he's about ready to leave the body and to be present with the Lord. And he's saying to Timothy, brother, I want to see your face. I want to have that full joy. I want to just rejoice with you one more time, praise be to God, if it be the will of the Lord, before my send-off. And this was the second time that Paul calls for Timothy like this. He does this earlier in the letters to Timothy. And he groaned to see him. He groaned to see the mantle bearer before his departure. Again, the evidence, brothers and sisters, and it's over and over in this, of the love that Brother Paul had for those that loved God's best. He wasn't calling for everybody. He wasn't. And everybody wouldn't have come. But he was calling specifically for those who were following Christ as Brother Paul followed him. It was that message. Listen to these things. There was a gathering. There was a desire for it. All throughout Paul's ministry, he preached to the Corinthians, and he knew that they weren't receiving it, and he wanted to depart. God had him there a while. Paul always wanted to be with those saints of like precious faith, and God had to temper that in Paul, didn't he? He said, Paul, there's a purpose there. There's witnessing. There's also things I'm going to do through your life there that I'm going to show and magnify my greatness in you and how I protect you. And there's going to be a few, little handful, that you're going to witness to there that are going to follow you as you followed me. So see, there's purpose in it. But again, take from this, brothers and sisters, that desire, that evidence of the love of those that love God's best. And that brings us to these final four. And just like the four living ones in Revelation, Paul's assuring Timothy right now that Timothy, there are some that are in harmony with my gospel and that know you, brother, that know Timothy, that you're the one that the Spirit, praise be to God, through me, has appointed for care of the churches for my departure. And this Erastus is the first one he mentions here. And it means good counsel. Good counsel. Brothers and sisters, may we, when we seek counsel from people that are yoke fellows in Christ. When you're seeking counsel from the world, from ones that are not grown up in the Lord, to satisfy something that you think, you're in a bad way. You need to stop. You need to pray. And by God's grace, to be quick convicted that you've been graced with the more perfect way. Listen to the witness. This is Paul again speaking to the Timothys, the ones that really want to honor God. I'll tell you what, you listen to the words of Paul, you'll have understanding in all things. Listen to this. So, this first one that he leaves him with is good counsel. The next one is prudence, means modest. I love this because there's no smoke or sizzle with these ones. They always and only give glory to the word of his grace. Don't get around ones that are puffed up. Don't get around ones that, well, we know this, and I'll tell you what, you better be like us. God help us, brothers and sisters. I'm thankful that someone that might be a child in faith might have a thought that there is some type of a, I don't want to ever say arrogance in me, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm confident in the Lord. I'm confident in that he that wills to know will know. I'm confident that it is the very perfect will of God that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge, the exact, intimate, exact knowledge of the truth. I know that God's able for that for my life. How about you? I know he wants that for me, and then I know by yielding to that grace that he's already given, that he will perform that good work which he's begun. If I be otherwise minded, he will make that known unto me. That's how I'm cared for, and that's how you're cared for. And if someone's so young in the Lord and hasn't heard those things and think, well, you're just boasting, I'm not boasting in myself, I'm boasting in the Lord. Because I know that he is able. I know that it's impossible for God to lie. And I know that he'll perfect that which concerns me. That is his perfect, complete, and all the will of God. Amen. All right. So wouldn't you think that he wants to perform it? You'd be a nut if you didn't. So God help us. God help us. Linus means linen. And that linen, speaking again of the righteousness of saints. God, again, encourage our hearts, brothers and sisters, as we take the good counsel, as we take that meekness, that modesty, and again, all of this comes forth, that we be only found in his righteousness. Amen? Amen. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that I know, but for God, there is no good thing in me. But for God, I'm just wicked. Completely. There's no thought of God. There's no coming after him. It's all because of Jesus, because he first loved me. And then Claudia finally means lame. And it's interesting in studying this out that you have this good counsel, you have this modesty, you have this linen, speaking of the righteousness, and then lame. What does that mean? How about glory in your infirmities? How about when you're weak, you're strong? How about the very faithfulness of God that he knows what you need? Do you think he buffets you? Paul, if I remove those thorns, you would be magnified. He's got you covered. Isn't that something? We need to learn to trust him, don't we? And rest. And understand a lot of those imperfections about our lives. Boy, without him, we would have been destroyed. Amen. Those things that you know that the Lord has set in your heart to trust Him for, to pray about, that, Lord, take this from me. But yet He seems to allow it to remain with you. So you remain on your knees in constant communication and dependence upon Him. Lord, it's all by your grace. Amen? Have you learned that He can actually keep you in the fire? Huh? See, but don't be a Christian that thinks, oh, everybody's just got to see me walking on water all the time, because that's the holy, holy guy. Don't go there. Now, the Word of God says, as Paul said, don't let sin reign upon your life. But I know that I'm in sinful flesh. I know that apart from God, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I know by God's grace, it's got to be His grace. Huh? You think God had a plan for David? Jacob, Abraham, Paul, and Peter, and Thomas. You think they felt pretty bad when they knew better? But God. My ways aren't your ways, son. I've got a height that you haven't even thought of that I'm going to bring you to. But you're going to have to realize that it will never be attained by your strength. This is faith, and the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. That's some glorious, encouraging fellowship, isn't it? You see what he left him with? You talk about somebody to look at these fellas, and I'm sure they said, well, Lord, you left me the Keystone Cops. No, I left you the perfect, complete, and all the will of God. That's what he left them. So finally says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. This goes right back to Timothy. You know what? You've been endowed and enjoined to go forward with my gospel. You know he's talking to you, don't you? You've been endowed with it. You've been enjoined to it. He's enabled you. Now walk. Go walk now. Walk throughout all the land. Be confident. That staff, that rod, praise God, it's with you. Hallelujah. But you see, son, it's only going to happen by the renewing of your mind. And then, praise God, you're going to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I can hear Paul say these things, really, because as the Spirit says this to my heart, it's already been provided. Isn't that something? It's already been provided. The power, praise God, is always there to perform it. And that's why he says, grace be with you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that he doesn't say, may the grace of God be with you? There's nothing may about this. See, the grace of God is always with you. The grace of God is always with you. It's just, what are you going to do with it? Paul says, I'm so thankful, Lord, I did not make the grace of God vain that you gave to me. See, he's given it to you all the time. You're his child. That's all he can do is give you grace. All the sufficient grace is there for you. But what you going to do with it? Well, you know what Timothy's do? You know the ones that honor God? They take it all. And they take it all, and they take it always, and they take it for all things. And they know that they need to take nothing else. Just like little Esther. It's always there in full abundance, in all sufficiency, in all things, to superabound to every good work. Everything that, Lord, you will bring to me tomorrow, if we get there, it's all there. And I'm so sincere about this, brothers and sisters, and all I'm doing by your grace is showing up. I show up by your grace. But I don't need to bring a thing, because it's all been provided. It's all there. The graceful ones. You graceful? And I'm not talking about F-U-L. I'm talking about F-U-L-L. Are you graceful? Are you swimming in it? Have you launched out so deep nobody can find you? Don't just kick around the shores. Not to the ankles or the knees or the thigh. But get on out there. Go deep. The ones that honor God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.